Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He is going to play. John Dickinson joined us at 6:30 from Toronto. He believes Durant's going to play. Vegas believes it as well. You've seen the Raptors move from -3 as low as -1.5. Plus, you have the over-under climbing from 212 to 214.5. So it feels as if all the circumstantial evidence, Dibs, is pointing to a return for Kevin Durant tonight. The big question, how much are you going to get out of him? He barely practiced yesterday. He hasn't had any on-court work in weeks. And what are we expecting him to do? Take the court in Toronto where it's going to be as hostile as any building this team has faced through the last 5 years and what? Play 40 minutes and save the season?
Maybe 35 minutes and save the season.
Is that too much to ask, though?
It's not too much to ask. I think the way Kevin Durant can play and will play makes it so that it becomes more possible than, say, other players like Willis Reed. I cited that earlier, 1970 NBA Finals. He had a quad injury that really prevented him from doing next to anything, and he was an interior player who relied on his strength and his power inside the key. Kevin Durant has an unguardable shot that doesn't necessarily need him to be able to elevate 30 inches off the ground to shoot it. When he gets to his spot in the mid-range and he goes up to shoot, all of a sudden you realize he's a 7-footer, and it's certainly unguardable when he's healthy, but even if he's limited, that shot still becomes a dangerous weapon. So because he doesn't need to blow by you to score, he doesn't need to run off a bunch of picks like Steph Curry to get open, I think a limited KD can still make a big impact because of the nature of his offense.
Does he start tonight? You'd figure yes, but how many minutes? 35 minutes. I mean, coming off this injury, can you really expect that much on that calf?
It depends how he gets rolling. If KD gets rolling and he's feeling himself, watch out.
Like Hush Clay hog, on Friday night?
Yeah, Hush Hog, I hear a bear. Because then what's going to happen to the rest of the team? Now you're talking about we believe.
Everybody's juiced
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. You have a guy right now. You have a team right now emotionally, physically, mentally, mind blown. They fought the other day and came with the uppercut and right hook and a cross. And Toronto shook it off and came over the top with a right hand. And stopped them dead in their feet.
It was an amazing performance. It really was. Watching that, I'm thinking, man, these Raptors, these guys are legit. Straight up legit.
They're legit. And you hear after your man Draymond goes to the podium and says, you know what, we've been 3-1 before. I love him. If I'm going in the alley, he's the first guy that I'm getting. Because he speaks life no matter what. Even when it seems like all hope is gone, the man still has faith. See, it's easy to have faith when I see you right there. I see you have faith that you're going to be there. Right now, they down 3-1. Faith is almost out the door. This is him saying, I believe and speaking positive that he believes they're going to still have a way to win. But the rest of the guys, after they gave Toronto their best shot and Toronto shook it off and still won that game and been covering by 10 double digits in two out of the four games, now you need KD. You need Superman to come because right now, it doesn't seem or doesn't appear what the team that the Warriors are putting out there, no matter what the combination is, they're talking about Curry getting out coach. No, the Toronto right now just has a little bit better talent. They're longer, play a better defense. So it's like you need Kevin Durant. What would that do to the rest of the team if he comes back? Because right now they're broken. KD is the only thing, in my opinion, that can give them some amicum of a hope to say, we can get back in this thing, and I think they need him tonight. And I think the situation for KD right now, you laid it out Friday. If he comes back in this situation and come out here and find a way to win, if they can win this series, what would he be looked at?
Yeah, you don't ever have to worry about whether or not you're getting enough love in the Bay Area. Like, that's pretty much it. I'd have to imagine someone's going to offer you free housing,
yes,
free food,
and that's
all that
not
Kawhi
cheap,
Leonard
by
stuff
the way,
too.
The free housing thing.
Kind of expensive.
I think even if you win game five and you allow the Oracle fans to have one more game, even if you lose it in six, the idea that you would get one more home game I think would go a long way toward helping KD's legacy as it's been tarnished over the past 5 weeks.
Agreed.
Through no major fault of his own exclusively, but the team, the way they've handled the injury, the way Kevin Durant has remained mum, none of that has helped his case in the court of public opinion, because more and more fans are like, why can't you play? Looney came back, and we know that he's got a near broken collarbone, and Clay came back, and we saw how badly he was limping. So the fact that he is going to play tonight, it looks like if they're able to win that game, then KD's all the way back.
The Looney thing was incredible. I'm sitting there Friday, and they're like, Looney's he's active tonight. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Active. Okay, he's going to be on the bench. Great. And then you get the report, yeah, he's going to try to give it a go. I'm like, what? I thought he broke his chest. I thought he had been ruled out for the playoffs. What am I missing here? And then you see him take the court
out there,
and then
the
he checks into the game. I'm like, this guy's actually going to go?
With
he missed one game?
Right against his body. You
can
see him
running. And he scored, too. Yeah. He actually made an impact out there. And they needed those minutes because Boogie does not – look, I think we got very caught up in Boogie's Game 2 performance, and we realized that was the outlier. That was the exception. That was not the rule. And we put it a little bit ahead of ourselves. He's doing everything he can to contribute. All right. But I think the expectations we put on him going into game three and beyond, a little bit high. That's on us. That is on us, not on him. The fact that he's out there trying to give you something, it's not as if, you know, he's being lazy. The guy is just busted up. He just doesn't have the hop. Hopefully he gets it back. And I think everyone around here commends him for sucking it up and trying to do everything he possibly can. They don't win game two without him. So the fact that they're still alive in this series, he played a big role in that game. But he can only give you so much of anything right now. I don't think Kirk can start him anymore.
Nope.
Andrew Bogut has played a nice role, but again, you can't look to Bogut for 35 minutes if you're going to win. And now Looney trying to chip in with a few minutes here and there, that's great. But, I mean, they're the walking wounded. That's a position of concern. Now, let me ask you this. If I told you prior to the start of this series, through the first four games, Stephen Clay versus the top two scorers from Toronto, which would end up being Kawhi Leonard and Pascal Siakam, how many points would the Splash Brothers need to outscore those two guys by to be in good shape after four games? What would you be saying considering both rosters? We knew Durant was hurt, so if I said before this series started, let's go four games into the future, Stephen Clay versus Kawhi and Pascal Siakam, how many points do the Warriors need to be up for this thing to have the Warriors in good shape to win another title? What would you say?
I would say 10.
Just by 10?
Yeah.
I was thinking 20, quite frankly, thinking that's 5 points a game over the four. If you were up by 20, you probably would be 2-2 or maybe up 3-1.
You think of it like that because Steph and Kawhi probably neutralize each other, and then you would think Clay would outscore Siakam. So basically, I already know the answer to this, but that's kind of how I was thinking it too. You have 10, you know, 3 to 5, maybe times 4, you'd be up 20. They're only up 1. They're up 1, which isn't the end of the world because Siakam's played well. He had a huge game 1. Clay was hurt. Let's remember that. He missed a game. And Kawhi Leonard has been outstanding. So those two have basically neutralized each other. Fine. The problem is with the rest. Toronto's rest after their first two, Leonard and Siakam, 246 to 214. 32-point edge when you get past the Splash Brothers. In fact, I don't have the exact number. I think it's 221. The amount of times Steph and Clay have combined to score 50 or more in a game. This is all regular season, all postseason since they've gotten together. It's a few hundred times that they have combined to score 50 or more. They put up, I believe, 55 in game 4, and the team ended with what? How many points did they end with? 92. So it was like 27 from the rest of the team. That was tied for the lowest. Of all the times in the history of the Splash Brothers, regular season, postseason, combining to put up 50 or more, they have never gotten a worse performance from a scoring perspective from the rest of the roster than they did Friday night. This is why Durant's coming back. The season's on the line. They don't have scoring from anywhere else. Sure, it's nice when Quinn Cook knocks down a couple threes. You can't bank on that. We can't bank on Boogie Cousins because of the injuries. Andre's not a pure scorer. Draymond's not a pure scorer. You're asking these guys to do too much. Clay came back and had a monster performance, exceeded all props, looked fantastic Friday night. The problem is Steph was neutralized. And they got to their 55 points, but the rest of the team didn't step up. Toronto has incredible balance across this roster. This is what is not getting enough attention. Six players are averaging 10 or more points per game for the Raptors in this series. That's only been done in NBA Finals history 4 previous times, where a team has had 6 or more players average 10 or more points per game during the finals. This is what you're up against. And tonight, you're heading to Toronto. You're back against the wall. The dynasty on the line. Toronto's outscored you by 31 points over four games. They're outscoring you by an average of about 8 points per game. That includes a loss. It's a tall order tonight, especially with Durant coming back, should they announce he is, in fact, coming back.
I agree. It's still going to be a tall order whether Durant plays or not. And here's the thing that I think that you, like you're kind of alluding to, Joe. Even if you just look at the starters, every one of Toronto's starters, one game or another, even their six-man, then seven-man, those guys all have scored 15 or more. The Warriors, only three. Only probably it's been KD, I'm not KD, but it's been Steph and Klay and Draymond over 15. Has any other guy scored over 15 on the Warriors? And that's when you think about what Toronto's doing. All five of their starters, you're talking about Mark Cassell scored over 15. You're talking about Ibaka has scored over 15.
Ibaka was insane Friday night. What did he finish from the floor?
23.
I was looking at this. I still don't believe it. I remember watching
him. He's 9 of 12.
9 of 12 for 20 points. He got on SVP show afterwards. If you get the SVP invite, you know you had a huge game.
Yeah, and they were singing O Canada inside Oracle at the end of that one as well. That's going to leave a bad taste in your mouth. So if you're a Warrior fan, you're just hoping for a game six. So maybe end things on a different note. I hear what you're saying, and six guys in double figures, yes. But you look at that game, and the first quarter, the Warriors played fantastic defense. Yet the big difference was they couldn't cash it in on the other end. 23-17, where if Kevin Durant plays and you play that same defense, maybe it's 30-17, and it's a different ball game. The fact that you played such great defense in the first quarter, yet you were unable to cash in on the other end because you were missing that offensive talisman that hopefully you get back tonight.
And you're tired. You're expending a lot of energy. Now, you're right. If KD comes back tonight, you're helping. But you got to realize, that's why I was like, hey, I do not see this team score. I didn't think Toronto would get 50 to 55 in the first half, which they've been doing repeatedly. I said you're going to see a Warrior
team.
Yeah,
you called it.
Because I just think that you looked at it and you say, but when you play great defense, you know you're spending a lot of energy. So your shots, it's not going to fall all the time on the other end of the floor, and especially when you're working that hard. So, and then we talked about it. You talked about regression. You said Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, 47 points. You said there's going to be a drop-off. The guy played a lot. He logged a lot of minutes. You couldn't expect the guy to go out there and score
The math has been so dead on in this series. I know people don't like to talk about math. It's boring, but it really has helped us predict a lot of these games. They knocked down. They shot 40% from three-point range. This was the Raptors. Hit 17 of them in game three. We told you. Regression's coming. It's not a sustainable number. So they went out and they hit 10 instead of 17, and they shot 31%. But they still won. Even with the math being in Golden State's favor for this game, they still lost by 13 points because of that third quarter.
Well, it's also because the support crew. You look at Steph and Klay, they combined to shoot 50%. They were 20 for 40. Pretty solid. If you can get that from them, you like your chances. But the rest of the crew, 15 for 38, which is 39%. And you look from behind the line, nobody else made a three-pointer aside from Steph and Klay. No Draymond, no Iguodala. Quinn Cook, 0 for 5 on the night, including 3 missed triples. So you can look at Steph and say he's tired, and he is. Klay came back and played great. But you're not getting anything from anyone else.
Phone lines are starting to light up. 888-957-9570. It's a big day. Durant may be back. Warriors, Raptors, Game 5, the dynasty on the line. Drew in the Nut. Drew's in Walnut Creek. Drew, thanks for the phone call. What's going on?
Hey, yeah. Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to comment on the lack of info on the KD injury. I don't think it's the organization's doing. I wholeheartedly believe it's Durant making that request to them not to say anything or to put out any info. What do you guys think?
Certainly a possibility. I mean, the only thing you're going to be doing by giving out more information is you're not going to create an advantage for yourself for that, I would say. I'm not sure you'd create a disadvantage. I am going to say you won't create an advantage by letting everyone know the situation. Maybe the mystery, you hope you keep Toronto guessing, but clearly Toronto doesn't mind.
Right.
They just took 2 in Oakland, so they're up 3-1. We kicked this around before the show this morning. I do think Kerr deserves a little bit of criticism for this, and maybe it shouldn't fall on his plate, but as the head coach who handles most of the questions for this topic, maybe that's where we've got to put it. I don't think the Warriors have done a great job. If they're trying to re-sign Durant, I don't think they're doing a great job with all of this in the manner in which they've approached it. From the beginning, they should have just basically let you know he's out, he's hurt, he can't play. Like, we have a doctor on Twitter. He works down at UCSF Benioff. I don't have the name right now, and he's a P1, so Doc, I know you're listening. Shout it out. every time it comes up, look, it's just a calf injury. He should be back. You have trained doctors like Dr. Chow and this doctor who listens to us hit us up on Twitter, and they're like, look, it's not that simple. Look at where the ice packs are located. They're not located on the calf. They're located beneath the calf, between the calf and the Achilles, suggesting that that's a more severe injury. Not suggesting it's an Achilles injury, but whatever connects the tendons that connect the calf to the Achilles, that's the injury and not just the calf muscle itself. As a result, the timeline he's been on, 6 weeks or so, which puts us right at 6 weeks now, is legitimate. He should have been out this amount of time. Anything else would have been him coming back early. But because the Warriors haven't really made that expressly clear to everybody, why they haven't really made the injury abundantly clear, I think you got a lot of people sitting around guessing. For example, who had the story? Chris Haynes Saturday? Was it that unnamed Warrior players are starting to grow frustrated? Did you have this? They're starting to grow frustrated.
That was Sam Amick who had that piece.
Sam Amick had the story. Do you have the details up?
I'm pulling it up right now, actually. So
essentially, what it said was that there were players in the locker room who were starting to grow frustrated. Looney's back with a cracked chest. Klay's back with the hamstring problems. Boogie came back from the injury, and that because Durant's not coming back, guys are growing frustrated. This is putting Durant in a negative light. There are conspiracy theories out there. We kick these around that Durant's thinking about his future, that he might not want to risk his money or re-aggravating the injury, so he might just sit this one out. If all of that is not true, the Warriors have done a great disservice to him by not getting ahead of that story. So I don't know what the reason would be to do it. I'm sure they have great reasons, and I'm sure the truth is somewhere in the middle as it normally is, but he's faced a lot of criticism for this, and he's had a lot of people saying, get out. I mean, there are a lot of people that were on Twitter. Obviously, they come to us. They want to have discussions. After that loss Friday, people were irate that he has not been out there yet. And it's like, if he truly is hurt and can't get out there, they owed him more to get out in front of this and say, look, the guy can't play. It's like every time Kerr's up there, you know, we were hoping to have him back. You know, he hasn't cleared a hurdle. We're waiting for this, but we'd really like to have him back. You keep getting these comments as in like, you know, where are you at, Durant? They put him in a bad light. Easily they could have come out and said, look, he's not playing. He's hurt. He hasn't recovered. I don't know what more you people want from me. He cannot go. It is a significant injury. Then at least we'd stop with the conspiracy
theories. Right, and he didn't do, and he, by that I mean Kevin Durant, didn't do anything really to dispel it either, where he could come out and say, or at least leak it, look, it's this is the injury, this is the timeline. Obviously the team and he working together decided that this is the best course of action. Maybe it is to protect that competitive advantage of having Toronto think, well, maybe Kevin Durant's coming back, so you got to spend whatever extra time preparing for a Kevin Durant Warrior team and a Kevin Durant-less Warrior team. But to your point, Toronto hasn't seen that phased by all the smokescreen of will he play or won't he play. They've just gone out and dominated the series from start to finish.
If Durant's been cool with all of it, then fine, because that's really all that matters. But if he's not, I can't help but think the way in which this was handled, he's taken some criticism, and it could turn out that if he's been significantly injured this whole time, very unjust and unfair criticism for reasons that could have easily been shut down had they come out and been up front with the injury from the beginning.
Well, I think that there's so many different moving parts with this injury. One is you got the MRI and you got the stuff done, and they said there's no structural damage. They put the dye. You can see it. They're saying, okay, the Achilles is not ripped. The calf is just a strain. There's no it's not torn. It's not anything. It's just a calf strain, so it's a grade one. So they're saying, okay, that can be 7 days. You've had this before 7 days. And maybe this one, his calf's a little more chronic. So now it became predicated on how Durant feels. So that's why I think that you didn't hear a lot of it, and I think that's what Daniel's alluding to saying. Kevin should have said, yes, people are, because the coaches and the training staff say, look, structurally, there's nothing wrong. Here's what we think that he could still play. But it's going to be left up to Durant. So now you even hear Kerr, well, I don't know. I thought he was going to practice. I thought this. It goes to show you it's been left up to the player, because medically they believe by the training staff and the doctors saying, look, this is what we've seen to our understanding. He should be able to play, but it's predicated left on him.
Tonight's officials, James Capers, Jason Phillips, and Ed Malloy. The Raptors are 9-1 in playoff games officiated by James Capers. Capers and Phillips both officiated in the Game 1 Toronto win. just getting that information out there for you right now. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Do the Warriors need Kevin Durant to win this series? If he comes back tonight, what are you expecting from him? Your call's next. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. But first, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Ticket Crushers. It's win or go home. The Warriors are on the brink as they face a 3-1 series deficit in the NBA Finals. Game 5 shifts back to Toronto. Coverage starts with Warriors Live at 4:30. Tip-off at 6 right here on 95.7 The Game. Now, Kevin Durant is listed as questionable. KD practiced with the team yesterday for the first time since straining his right calf. The big question, will Durant play tonight, and what can we expect out of him? Joe Lo and Dibs will continue the discussion and keep it locked on 95.7 in the game for the latest updates and news on Durant. But is it too little too late, or can this team muster enough to bring the finals back to Oakland? Give us your thoughts. Another story from yesterday, Andre Iguodala says that he plans to be back with Golden State next season and that he is confident the core will return. Why is he talking about this now? Well, stay tuned to find out. I'm Anna Kagarakis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our no-doubt nervous listening audience, because we love you and because we have a lot to get to as we get set for Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Tip time, 6 p.m. tonight right here on 95.7 The Game as the Warriors trail the series 3-1. It's now or never, ladies and gentlemen. It is now or never. Vegas sees it as follows. You have the Raptors opening as a 3-point favorite. That is now down to 1.5 across the board. The money continues to come in under the belief that Kevin Durant will play tonight. More on that in a minute. The over-under went from 212 to 214.5. This, historically, is what your Golden State Warriors are up against. First and foremost, to win the NBA Finals, you are going to need to win 3 straight against the Raptors. That happened to Toronto exactly one time this season. Only one time this season, the Raptors lost 3 straight games. The previous 34 NBA teams to trail 3-1 in the NBA Finals, of those 34 teams, only 3 went on to even force a Game 7. Forget coming back to win, only 3 went on to force a Game 7. The 1951 Knicks, the 1966 Lakers, and of course the 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, of the 250 previous instances in which an NBA team went down 3-1 in a best-of-7 series, this is the 251st time in NBA history the postseason has featured a 3-1 series lead. The previous 250 times, 150 of those teams lost in 5, 68 lost in 6, 21 lost in 7, 11 came back to win. So there is some good news, as well as the fact that Steve Kerr is 5-1 when facing elimination. Speaking of Steve Kerr, he spoke yesterday about Kevin Durant, practice, and whether or not he'd be available tonight.
He's going to practice with us today, and he'll get some extra work in with some of our younger players, and we'll gauge it from there.
Kerr continued.
What he's going to do today, he hasn't done. So he's doing more today, and then we'll know more after that.
Jay Williams, former Duke point guard, friends with Kevin Durant. He's on the ESPN show, The Boardroom, that Durant helped create. He was on Get Up this morning, had this to say about Durant.
I was actually with KD last night, and I will say this. Regardless of whatever side of the coin that you're on about Kevin Durant, about him being emotional or, you know, barking back to people on social media, if you're a real hooper, you know that KD is one of the most ruthless competitors you'll ever meet. I mean, this is a guy back in 2014, I randomly found myself in a pickup basketball game with him at Rucker Park, and he's competing every play on a street ball court. The one thing you know about Kevin loves big challenges, Greeny. He loves the big stage. And for him to be dropped back into Game 5 of the NBA Finals is a monumental thing. I would be shocked if we did not see KD on the basketball court tonight. Now, I'm neither confirming nor denying. This is up to the Golden State Warriors about how they want to do this. But if KD is not on the floor tonight, I will be shocked. How about that?
This entire room is of the belief that Durant will play tonight. The question comes down to how much he will play, how well he will play, and where I want to start this segment, because we will be going to the calls in just a moment. 888-957-9570. if he goes, how challenging is it going to be to reintegrate him in an offense that is very different without him than it is with him on the court?
I don't think it'll be that difficult because you played a whole season. You've played now three seasons with Kevin Durant, so you're familiar with what he does, where he likes to score, etc. Now, does it maybe take a little bit of the shine off Steph Curry? Yes, and it should, because you saw in Game 4, Steph is starting to wear down. All the physical defense, Van Vliet, Danny Green, they've done a nice job against Steph Curry, and he's got to be fatigued. He played nearly 43 minutes in the game. Yeah, he did play 43 minutes in Game 4. So take a little bit of the pressure off Steph Curry. More ISOs, yes, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the offense is worse. I like the fact that Kevin Durant can come in and give him a different wrinkle. And if Kevin Durant starts to get rolling, you got to double team him, and that should leave someone open for a three ball.
Is it more likely that they come out early with Durant and they struggle as they try to reintegrate him, or they have an advantage because Toronto hasn't seen this yet and they have to adjust defensively?
It does play in the Warriors' favor, especially in this, you know, I wouldn't say the whole game, but just early, because you can go to Kevin Durant. And then even later on in the game, because Steph now can play in more spurts, because you have a ball-dominant guy who can score, and Steph seems to be wearing out a little bit later on in the latter part of the game. Now you have a situation where you have a guy you can go into, and like Dibs alluded to, if they do happen to double him, now KD can be looking to be a facilitator as well. KD's going, if he plays tonight and he plays up to KD's standard, which, you know, everything that Jay Williams talked about, how he is a competitor, here's a guy that he goes out to Rucker Park and he will drop 50 on you. So the guy,
it's one of the great YouTube videos of all time.
Absolutely. So if he's feeling good and they have to double him, not only that, he's going to put Kawhi in foul trouble. So he brings a lot of other things to the table, and it makes other guys around him better. Klay Thompson and Steph Curry will benefit if KD is plays tonight, because of the fact now guys will sag off of them at times. They will pay more attention to KD. It will give them some more open up look. It will help with the spacing. And I think now what happens too, if you got a double team on a guy and he's still able to shoot, now you got two more guys that can be able to get a rebound. So now I think it helps you also if he happens to miss. So there's a lot of facets that KD can help this team, because right now they need all the help they can get.
This postseason, with Kevin Durant on the court versus without Kevin Durant on the court, when he is on the court, the Warriors average 20 isolations per 100 possessions. Without him, that number cuts in half. It goes down to 11. Passing. Total passes per 100 possessions. With Kevin Durant, 299. Without him, 331. So these are two very different looking offenses. Again, it's not necessarily to say one is better than the other. Of course, it's better to have Kevin Durant than to not have him. It is, however, to highlight the fact that it is a different look. It is a different offense. Case in point, contested shots. Look at what has happened to the Warriors' scoring efficiency when matched up in contested shot situations over the course of the playoffs. Against the Clippers in the opening round, they hit 44% of their contested shots, meaning when the shot was contested by the Clipper defense, they knocked down 44%. Against Houston, when you had Durant for most of it, but not all of it, they knocked down 41%. Against Portland, when they didn't have Durant at all, 36%. Currently against Toronto, one of the best defenses in the business, 31%. It has dropped in every single round. Oh, by the way, Durant this postseason hitting 50% of his field goal attempts when they're deemed contested shots. Think about that. 50% from the floor when it's a contested
amazing
shot. So he brings a lot of gravitas, as we like to say, to the offense in that scenario.
His contested shot is not everyone else's contested shot, because you just can't get to it. Now, maybe Serge Ibaka on the perimeter could climb that ladder and get to it. But when KD is shooting that 18, 20-footer and he has his arm extended over his head, that thing's coming out at about 9 feet, 8 inches. So you might be contesting it, but ultimately your hand isn't anywhere near the ball where it's getting released, which is, I think, a big reason why he is shooting so well on, quote, contested shots.
Something I stumbled into this morning, I just figured I'd drop this before we go to the phones. Four games through this series, do you know that in the fourth quarter there hasn't been a single tie or a single lead change?
Wow.
Four quarters. At no point has the score changed during the fourth quarter. At no point has there been a tie during the fourth
even
quarter.
Even game two, where Toronto was threatening late, they were pushing really hard. I guess they never did get to that point where it swiveled over to Toronto up by one.
If you lead after three, you go on to win. This has happened not all that long ago. I don't have it exactly in front of me right now, but I believe it was the Spurs-Pistons NBA Finals. Same thing through the first four games. You had a situation in which there wasn't a single tie or lead change during the fourth quarter. Just a fun fact to throw out there as you're, mingling amongst your coworkers trying to one-up each other with fun facts. Do people do that? Probably not.
Yeah, nowadays you're hanging out at the water cooler, and make sure you drink lots of water today, folks. It's absolutely scalding out there. So a lot of time today at the water cooler, and you can impress your friends with that factoid right there.
Absolutely. I think tonight, though, a lot of this, I know KD, hopefully he'll play tonight and play big. A lot of this comes down to two physicality. Toronto has been more physical. Toronto has, been a more dominant team on the boards, just all around, that they've pretty much shown that they're more dominant than the Warriors. So the Warriors are going to have to play physical. And I know we talked about, I wasn't saying literally go after Van Vliet and beat him up, but you do have to put your hand
Beetlejuice. Yeah,
you were advocating that you go after his face earlier. Are you now backing up from that?
I don't know if I'm going to. You don't have to hit the back.
That's exactly what's happening, so he does have to hit that.
But you
back the truck up.
No, honestly, you do got to be physical. I'm not saying slap him. But I'm saying you do foul him, and there might be a chance that your hand hit him in the face. You want, because then he's going to be sore. He's going to be thinking about his face. I don't think this guy's going to be effective tonight. You just lost a tooth. You're thinking about your tooth.
He's got nothing else to lose, Coach. Once you lose a tooth and that smile's gone,
right?
Our good friend, Mel lost that tooth.
He came in.
It was reckless interning ever since then.
You're right. And he's got his cut around the eye. So I would be surprised if he's not in some type of mask or something.
The old Rip Hamilton.
Exactly. You're going to see that tonight from Van. And if you don't have him, this guy, you can say what you want. He's been integral. He's been a very integral part in this success.
He's been awesome. Yes. He's been absolutely awesome. Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game presented by our friends at Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Let's take some calls. Three in Berkeley. Three, thank you for the phone call. Welcome to the show. Floor is yours. Fire away.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I wanted to tap in, man. You know, first of all, we love the show. But just to go into it, you know, the thing about it, I think Kevin Durant's situation is overblown. Let's get shots, quality shots, from Iguodala. Let's get quality shots from Livingston. Let's get quality shots from everybody. And also, Steph Curry and Klay, let's not forget who you are. Use the pump fake. That's what happened with Kobe. That's what happened with Harden. That's what happened with Jordan. That's what happened with D-Wade. Everybody jumps out at you because you're going to pump fake and you're going to get to the line. You are who you are. So let's stay within that realm of the game. And we control the game and take this game easy. I'm not worried about Kevin Durant coming back. Let him rest up. But everybody hit their open shots because you get so much attention.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. I agree with the second part. I liked where he was going there. But the first part, if you're looking for Andre Iguodala to become a scorer or Livingston to be one of your elite scorers, you're not getting that. You might get one game where one of those two goes off, but that's not the game plan. The game plan is to not have Sean Livingston score 20 points or for Andre Iguodala to take a lot of shots. Again, what is Iguodala? He's 35, 34. He's in his 14th season. And he did say he's planning on coming back, which is awesome.
35, 36, isn't he?
Dead? Makes perfect sense that you would come back. He's slated to make 17.185.
Yeah, so, the numbers. Look at that.
Well, and you know, if you were going to offer me 17.1 to come back and play at the level that he's able to play at, which, you know, you're not asked to go out there and give 40 minutes a night over 82. It's really give 24 minutes a night over 62. It's good work if you can get it, and he has it, so why would you turn your back on it?
He'll be 36 next January, and it's great that he's coming back. The leadership's huge because he's played such a big mentor role on the roster. But if you're looking for him to score 20 points for you tonight, I think that's a bit of an issue.
That is.
That's not what he does.
You're looking for him to knock down open shots. And you look at he and Draymond, not only in this last game in Game 3, but throughout the balance of the series, they haven't done that. Shots that you need them to hit. The opening possession last night, or Friday night, as we continue to realize that it wasn't last night, he had an open three that he turned down. Iguodala turned down multiple threes, and Toronto knows this. So you're not even really paying them much attention behind the three-point line. You aren't forcing them to guard you. And that's where, with Kevin Durant coming back tonight, you hope that it's a third offensive threat. So Toronto has to pay at least attention to some Warriors.
You got
to
play better defense on Kawhi. I understand, Joe, like you said, it's almost impossible. The guy's the closest thing to Jordan. You talked about the different illustrations, how he plays the ball and plays like him. You got to keep this guy under 30. Because if you can do that, then other guys will start pressing. Kawhi is the engine on this team. We know that. Everyone knows that. You got to beat him up. You got to play him physical. You got to, understand, throw different bodies at him. You got to come out and trap him, get the ball out of his hands. You can't let him dictate tempo, because if you let him dribble and try to go one-on-one with this guy, he's too big, he's too strong, the guy's too physical. So with me, I'm blitzing him. I'm not half-trapping him. I'm trapping him and making someone else beat you. You cannot let that guy. You got to limit him, and you got to play great defense on him.
Here's perspective as to what Kawhi Leonard's done for the Raptors this postseason. He is the sixth player in NBA history to record 14 or more 30-point games in the postseason, right? So he's already had 14 postseason games in which he's knocked down 30 or more points. DeMar DeRozan was with the Raptors for 9 years. He had 14 30-point games in the playoffs. So 9 years of DeMar DeRozan got you 14 30-point playoff games. Not even one full postseason of Kawhi Leonard has gotten you 14 30-point games. Does anyone know who the three individuals are that had more 30-point games in a single postseason in NBA history?
LeBron
the guys
James.
That are tied with him. Unfortunately, LeBron is incorrect. LeBron is tied with him. I was actually going to give that one to him, but it does count as a miss.
No, he's tied with him, so it's a push.
I wanted the ones who were above him. Very clear with the rules. You steamrolled in like a rhino in a china shop.
LeBron James.
You
just couldn't
you
wait.
Punish me?
You were not punish you. You're just wrong. You just have to highlight the wrong. So, yeah. And maybe one more time just to make it clear
don't
as he tries to fight it again.
Don't, Dibs. Thank you.
LeBron also has 14 like Kawhi. The other two, Iverson and Jordan. Iverson and Jordan also with postseasons of 14 or more. Now, who are the three players that have had more than 14 30-point performances in a single postseason?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, we'll go with Shaquille O'Neal.
I just want to make sure it's a team thing. Yeah, sure. If you can knock down all three donuts, I'll get donuts if you knock down all three, but it's three guesses to get all three.
We'll go with Shaquille O'Neal, kid.
No. It's incorrect. Incorrect.
Did you see what he did though? He did the gesture like he went off.
That was really
good. That's on me if I did that.
That was really good.
No. You pump faked the whole room. I thought we were rolling, kid.
Wasn't intending to do that, but no, that one was incorrect. So as a result, I'll give you three more chances. Three more chances to knock the three out. Individuals who have had more than 14 30-point games in a single postseason. The ones that are tied with Kawhi are LeBron, Jordan, and Iverson. There were three performances in which a guy scored 30 or more, 15 or more times in a single postseason. You have three guesses to get all three correct.
Akeem, but we're not going to say it yet, because he said Akeem.
Right, from the previous one. Yeah, why don't we say Akeem? That way we can think about the other ones.
And then Jordan, too. Well, he's already tied that. So
So we'll go with Akeem, Joe.
Akeem's correct.
Okay.
Nicely done. Two guesses to get the other two.
Yeah, when you think about just the association, Daniel, guys that have had really, really strong playoff performances around these.
And long runs, too, because you got to have a lot of these games. To have 15 games, you got to have played 15 games. You're welcome, Joe.
Yeah, and another,
not even going to address it.
And a guy that's so probably in early that we liked him, Lew Alcindor.
Loved him. You mean Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right?
Yeah.
Interesting scenario you're tasked with here, because the name does matter. The correct name does matter.
Wow.
Be careful.
But he wasn't in that. He wasn't into that 30 for 14 earlier, so that might be a reach. You know what I'm saying? Just going the process of elimination.
Well, he just told you that it's either Lew Alcindor or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It just depends on which one we want to go with. We'll go with Kareem, Joe.
Kareem is incorrect. Next guess.
Lew Alcindor?
Also incorrect. Never said it had to be.
No.
I just said the name's important. You have to get the name right. I didn't say it was the difference between Alcindor and Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
Anything else as you continue to just
flail
away here?
No, looks like it's no donuts again.
The other two were Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan!
He did it twice. He had 14 and he also had 16.
There you go.
And then Kobe Bryant. had 15.
Kobe!
No Warriors, interestingly enough. No Warriors.
That's nice.
Well, you think about some of their runs when you go 16-1 to win the title. It's only 17 games. It's hard to come up with 15 30-point games. I know that was just the 1 year, but it would seem to me that most of those were in long, long runs.
Oh, absolutely.
Games where you have, you know, playoffs where you have more than 20 postseason games, for example.
You talk about trying to limit Leonard tonight. I mean, what can you do? Honestly, if you're Steve Kerr, what do you do differently? This guy is averaging 30.7 points per game, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and he's shooting 45% from the floor in the NBA Finals. And, oh, by the way, he's not healthy.
Right.
He's hurt. He's playing on a bum knee. They just don't talk about it, so no one pays attention to it. Leonard has been incredible.
He has, Joe, and here's the thing. And you can just and Dibs, give me your bill because I think I'm correct on this.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Can Kawhi out jump Klay Thompson? Ding, probably so. Is he probably?
How does that? Hold on.
Let
I'm
him
not
go.
Saying you're wrong. Just how is that just accepted as fact? Do we have any data that he can out jump him?
Data. I think so. I think that you probably understand that he's probably the guys that's been guarding Iguodala probably's got more than Iggy.
Take that for data.
Yeah, give me a ding on that one. And
what's happening here? You have no evidence for anything.
I'm just talking about
you're right and forcing Dibs to push a button, and Dibs is somehow doing it.
Looney with the bad shoulder, he could out jump him too. Ding. So now let's talk
ding
about.
Yep.
Yeah, so let's talk about now who's the guy.
Dibs, you're just as guilty.
No.
If you would look at
you're
what's going on the other side of the glass right now,
OJ chase down the freeway.
They're loving it back there.
Why OJ?
Because we always bring OJ in.
Pay
the streak
under.
Stays alive. 2.5 years. We've mentioned OJ
and
every day.
And much like the OJ chase, this eventually will get somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. At the same pace, though.
Kevin Durant.
I'm on the East Coast, OJ. Get to Brentwood.
Do you think that Kawhi Leonard has more jump? Can he out-jump Kevin Durant? I would say no, so don't ding that one. That's the X factor.
Okay.
So, all right. Now, this is such
how is it? Wait,
hogwash.
No.
So you've got...
You talked about
shout out Harry Potter
out-jumping everybody, but then when it comes to Durant, he can't out-jump Durant. Durant's injured.
Durant's 7 foot.
So then how is it Leonard can out-jump Looney when Looney's several inches taller?
No. Looney doesn't lift his hips and stuff as bad. Looney doesn't have the spring.
He hasn't left the ground since his junior year at UCLA. Yeah,
exactly. So when you think
do you see the logic that this man is presenting to you right now that you're just so willing to accept?
I'm just pushing buttons,
problem
kid.
Number one with America. We don't ask any questions. We just accept everything we're told.
Okay, hit the text line if you don't think
what's
that
the
Kevin
number?
Durant, 9595.
I'll take care of that for you.
Okay, thank you.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795.
Do you agree with me out there that Kevin Durant will match up better with Kawhi because of how long he is, and he can alter Kawhi's shot more than anybody that we've seen?
Yeah, I think we'll all agree with that.
That's not what you were saying before. You were
giving us vertical.
I laid it out.
Vertigo. Vertigo yeah. is what that was. Verbal it's vertigo. Skinny. Ultimately, the problem is not Kawhi Leonard. You go ahead and give Kawhi your 35
terrible,
right now.
Terrible, whatever that was.
If
was
he
that?
Scores a take? 35, I'll come in with my shorts on backwards and I'll, you know what?
Yeah,
and
there's
I'll
a punishment.
I'll come barefooted.
You do stuff like that anyway. It was like a week ago you had your shirt on backwards.
And the holy shirt and the holy sweatshirt. Amen.
Amen. The Holy Ghost.
Hey.
He will not score 35.
How about donuts?
Donuts, apple cider, whatever you want.
The point is,
apple cider.
That's
a huge score.
I know.
What is it, October?
Because we were eating the donuts, and then the apple cider kind of helped coat your stomach.
It's a nice combination. I'll give you that.
Absolutely.
Might be the first thing I'm agreeing with here.
Exactly. So
the problem is not Kawhi Leonard. The problem is Serge Ibaka.
Shut his mic off. I think we all know who they're talking about.
Hold on. 408. Who wants to make a bet
for the 925?
Nasodamus.
That was trash. Egg shoe.
Oh
beat
my
it.
God, people! People, why are you guys coming down my lane when I'm telling you Kevin Durant will guard Kawhi if he plays, and he will. He will not have 35 points. Mark it down. Lock
that's
it
not
up.
Look. That's not any sort of he went for more than 35 once in the entire series.
He won't have 30.
Okay, now you're getting somewhere realistic because he's averaging 30
I'll
for
get
the series.
Somewhere. He won't get 30.
You're
tonight.
Saying Leonard won't get the 30?
No.
I want to root for the Warriors, but I also want Leonard to get the 31.
Listen,
it's a dangerous line I'm towing.
Just mark the tape back there.
Mark the tape. Brutalize it.
Tape is
KD playing. I don't care. You guys are crazy.
This is an Al Cowlings tape
from the 510. Somebody throw a milkshake at Lowe.
Wait a minute. If I bowl against the Warriors, you want to egg me. If I talk good about them, you want to egg me. If I tell you it's good stuff, you want to egg me.
Yeah.
Just crucify me. What do you want me to? You want to slap me? Do everything? Why? And why are you ringing that bell?
Crucify you? Slap you?
Crucify seems to be a bit much. I don't know if I'm.
I stand behind my. I stand behind it.
I got no problems throwing a milkshake at him, but crucifying, I don't really want to get. I'm not so sure I want to get into that.
This is crazy.
Then, like, if he comes back from it, what? Now we got two Easters? I'm not, it's already hard enough to keep track of the first Easter because it's a different day every year. Is that Clay or is that Kawhi?
That's Kawhi. It's the old surprise Easter for those of you who are rolling with me on Wheel of Fortune.
Do we have. What happened then?
That was my guess because, you know, they start to reveal one letter at a time and you buzz in and it was surprise ending was the actual answer. I said surprise Easter and it was, you know, obviously.
Guess that's a good guess.
It's a terrible guess, Coach.
Surprise Easter.
It's but that Easter.
What did Sajak do?
He wants a surprise
Sajak shook
Easter.
His head like, what are we doing with this guy? We gotta give this guy a job.
This is the best. I flew in one day a month for
that's
this.
Right.
That's what he does. You know that? He lives in like Cape Cod or
Rhode Island, yeah.
He flies across the country for like a weekend. He tapes a bunch of those and then he's gone.
Works 2 days.
And he makes a killing. Pat Sajak is straight balling out.
Balling.
Surprise Easter.
Yeah, because you know that Easter, it jumps all over on you. You never know if it's in March or some years it's in April. And now we got a second Easter we got to keep a track
of. Yeah, the second Easter's huge. Because now it's like.
It's too much. It's too much, Coach.
I can't. It's like all this stuff. So.
I think what you do with Kawhi Leonard, Joe, is we try to maybe get this thing near back on the rails.
Do you see him staying under 30? Lowe's saying he's going to be under 30 points tonight.
No chance. And I don't think it's that important. The big issue is stopping these other second-tier guys. You can't let Ibaka have 20. You can't let Gasol have a night where he has 20. Danny Green hit 6 threes in a game, and you lost. You got to control the other pieces. You're not going to stop Kawhi. And by the way, 45 of
925, I agree with Lowe. Thank you.
45 of 48 from the free throw line.
From the 925. Lowe might be onto something. I agree with him.
Thank you.
You're saying from what? From the free throw line?
Yes, he's 45 of 48.
Yeah. They've been outstanding as a team from the free throw line. They've been great all the way around. That's what I think people are finally starting to realize. My plan of attack to talk today about this before we found out Durant was probably going to play was that if this thing ends, if you're going to go down, this is the way you go down. You don't go down with excuses. You don't go down with what ifs. You don't go down with anything other than, man, that other team was awesome. They were better than you. Like, that's the situation you can live with. It's tough. But I was watching that game Friday night. I was like, the Warriors are just getting their butts kicked. Yeah. Second half of that game, Toronto was just better.
Too much.
In
better.
Every single regard. They look gassed. They looked like they spent too much a couple days before. I got to bring this up, too. It's a question that needs to be asked. If no one cares, fine, we can put it to bed. Should Kerr have played Clay in Game 3? Like, are we going to look back on that as a huge mistake? Because we understood the rationale then. The team wanted him to sit. He wanted to play. I was under this impression that it was this bad hamstring injury. He lit it up in Game 3. Start to finish, too. As soon as he got on the court, he started knocking him down. 42 minutes for Clay Thompson. 28 points on 11 of 18 shooting, 6 of 10 from deep. Should he have played in Game 3?
I don't think so, because those extra 2 days, I think, gave him enough strength and enough confidence to where he was able to go out and exert at that level. And you heard him yesterday in the press conference. One of the reporters asked him how he felt after Game 4, and he said it hurt. It hurt a lot. So he's still not going to be 100%. I know he says he's trying to work toward being at 90 or whatever. And obviously the re-injury risk is higher immediately after it happens, so for me, you can second guess anything, but that's one thing I can't really bring myself to second guess that one.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Church pew seat.
Yep, everything. All the above. And guys, sure as Monday come after Sunday, Kawhi will be under 30. And you know what? If he's not, come in and say, you know what? The Warriors, great job. It's been a great year. We're moving on. We're on to Cincinnati. Let's get ready for what's going to happen to KD and free agency, because he will throw him under 30. He's long. He's going to alter a shot. He doesn't have to jump as high. He will alter Kawhi's shot. Kawhi will have his worst shooting night, because I'm telling you, no one else has an answer. There hasn't been an answer for Kawhi Leonard this whole series. You have to go ahead. This is why KD is supposed to be the best in the association. And you know what? Kawhi Leonard, who's the best? And if he's going to play and play at a high level, there is no way, if I'm Steve Kerr, that I don't say, you know what, go play defense on him. Because if you can play defense and now other guys can be more fresh, guys will score. You don't have to. He doesn't need to go out and score you 30. KD doesn't need to go score you 30. KD gets you 15 or 20, and he plays great defense on Kawhi. That's how you win this ball game, folks. That's how you win this ball game.
Let's stay right there. Let me get legal real quick. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning. Welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is fantastic to have you with us. We hope you guys had a terrific weekend. Let's get set for Game 5. Jim Barnett, good friend of the program, going to join us on the Dialpad guest line in half an hour at 8:30. If Durant comes back tonight,
yes,
we'll give you all the reasons why it looks like he's coming back tonight.
Right.
But if he does, you're saying he's more valuable on the defensive end, marking Kawhi Leonard, than he is on the offensive side.
Absolutely.
As opposed to putting him on, say, maybe like a Danny Green, who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn Friday night, and letting him try to do what he can on the offensive end. You'd rather him focus his energy on defense, because I think it's going to be too much to ask him to come off this injury, hasn't played since May 8th, and say, we're going to need you to mark Leonard, and we're going to need you to drop 30.
Right.
That's probably unrealistic.
I agree. And to me, it's about defense. If you can have him play him man-to-man, and now you don't have to double-team, because when you double Kawhi, Kawhi is looking to facilitate. So when you see Kawhi, he's dribbling around, and he knows that there's a double coming, and then he's throwing the ball to an open guy, whether it's Van Vliet, whether it's Denny, whoever it may be, he's looking to facilitate. Now if you have KD on him, he's going to have to go at KD. Now he's going to try to take KD to the hole. KD's long enough that KD, even if he beats KD to the spot, KD just by getting going straight up, Kawhi's shot will be altered, meaning that when he's trying to release it, he's going to have to move it in a little different way because he can't just shoot over him. He could shoot over Iggy. He could shoot over Looney. Looney and him can't jump with him. You're talking about a guy that's already 7 feet but has a wingspan of 11 or 9, whatever KD's wingspan is. Now it's going to be tough on Kawhi. Now you're not doubling him, so now he can't look for that open play. I think it's going to help the defense so much. If KD plays, I really believe he limited him to the under 30. I'm not saying he's going to guard him the whole time.
Right, of course.
I'm just saying at times, KD, Daniel, with all due respect, I know you think that I'm crazy. I know you think that he's going to get over 30. You said no chance. I think you're wrong, and you're out of line.
Wow. Dibs, I'd just leave if I were you. Even though none
of
it made
a
lot of sense.
You know that was kind
of... There's an uptick at the end, and he really paced you out.
It's really kind of like when you forge through a dumpster for food. You know, you hope that there's some food in there, and you dig, and it smells bad, granted, and it's not pleasant. But you work, and you work, and you work, and you know that deep down somewhere there's that half-eaten chicken drumstick or maybe a couple of two-day-old donuts.
Wow.
And eventually you get there, and you eat it, and you're not necessarily happy about it, but you do get full. That's what that was. Even
that's
with the
gross
uptake and all that. Whatever, it was a meal. A meal's a meal. And we're on to Cincinnati, as we like to say.
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
209. Wow. I'm with Lowe. You saw that. I'm just laying it out.
Somehow not a text of the day nominee.
Shilton Autobody text line 95795. Are you with Lowe?
GP,
you agree,
are you with me?
In the sense that Durant returning tonight, more value on the defensive end or the offensive end? If you can't ask him to be a great defender and a great scorer, which would you prefer he contributed?
The offensive end, and it's not close because you look at what happened in Game 4 in the first quarter, and defensively, you were terrific, and Toronto was trash. Outside of Kawhi Leonard, Toronto in that quarter was 1 for 13. Let me say that again for effect. 1 for 13.
It's not good.
Kawhi was 5 of 8. The rest of those bums did nothing, and yet you're only up by 6. If you have Kevin Durant on the floor, the defense is better, certainly, but the offense is going to be better. You're not going to settle for just 23 points in that opening quarter. You're not going to play Looney for 7 minutes and McKinney and Livingston. You're going to go with your Hamptons 5, and offensively, you become more efficient. That defense that you see from Kevin Durant is excellent, but you had good defense anyway in the first quarter. You should have been up by 12, if not 15, after the opening 12 minutes, but you couldn't score because you didn't have KD, who was a difference maker on the offensive end. So different religion, not even same church, different religion, different God. Without a doubt.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be because, you know what? You're bigger than that. And I don't know why you just want to just like come down me and do that in a negative way like that with me.
It's not negative.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.